Amish to the Buddha, Amish to Dharma, Amish to the Sangha. When I was a young monk, or master at one point, took a great big sheet of some kind of very wide weave netting and stretched it across the ceremony hall, raised it up so it was up above all of us and up above the main altar. And sewn into this netting was, which was very, you really couldn't see the net itself very much, except that sewn into it were all these sequiny kind of things, the kind of large sequins that were different colors and very reflective. So the light of the ceremony hall were reflected off of them. And Reverend Master was trying to make a visual representation of what's called Indra's net, the net of Indra, of which I had never heard at that point. I hadn't heard really pretty much anything, almost anything, about Buddhism except what Reverend Master told us. She loved to be able to represent something visually, a teaching visually, when possible, and she often did that in wonderful ways. The idea of Indra's net is a simple idea, that all the sequins represent all beings. You could say all forms of existence, that each sequin, each, you might say, little mini mirror in this vast net, this infinitely large net, reflects all the others. And it does it from its own unique position, within its own unique experience. Within this great cosmic sphere, the sequins are, you have to think of it as now some set in motion. So the sequins all over the place are winking in and out. One winks out over here and another one winks on over there. So that it's no longer static, but it's, think of it as twinkling with infinite comings and goings, infinite arisings and passings. A little sequin winks on and there's little baby Timmy Schomburg just been born. And in a few decades it winks out and there goes old man Koshin, really in just a twinkling of an eye, really. And perhaps vast distances, maybe vast distances into time and space away, another one twinkles on, and there's that same karma manifesting in new forms. And by karma, I don't just mean the karma of greed, hate, and delusion. I also mean consequences of meritorious action, merit manifesting. And all of these little mini mirrors of the whole of the cosmos are all part of one great reality. Each is a little facet of one infinitely faceted diamond, which is the great Dharma body of the Buddha, of the eternal. People think that they are born here and one day they die and their life is just extinguished. Nothing remains of them. Or they think that they are born here and one day they die and some essential reality of them is reborn in a heaven, a hell, or a purgatory. And while these ideas have each of them a grain of truth in them, neither one of them even approximates to the magnificence of the reality. When your life, when my life, winks out, the story is not over. If we're only thinking in terms of this body and mind being what's real, then the story is over. if we're thinking in terms of this body and mind is a very, very transitory manifestation within something that is infinite in time and space, and that when it came into existence at birth, or conception, or whenever you want to think it, it didn't matter. It was not a first beginning. And when it winks out of existence at death, or shortly after death, or shortly before death, it really doesn't matter. It's another transformation, not the end of the story. A transformation that can be part of the opening up, the flowering of a treasure of merit, or it can be a much more grim and difficult and tortuous continuation of confusion and ignorance, self-judgment, pain. It can be some mix of these, but I assure you it will be something. It is never the end of the story. This little existence of a few short years or days or decades that we call our life is part of an eternal, vast cosmic flow. Why did our master hang up that net of Indra? Why do we speak of these things? How can we know these things? One of the things that can be said to be true of this infinitely great net of existence is that at every point that you find one of these little mini mirrors, that is the center of the whole. That at every point there is the center of the whole. If you want to translate this into perhaps more recognizable terminology in Buddhism, all beings possess the Buddha nature. Therefore, each of us possesses the Buddha nature. We meditate so that we can know this. We meditate so that we can live from this place. We meditate so that we do not live our lives and die our death in the delusion that we have no Buddha nature, or that we are doomed to be eternally separate from our Buddha nature, when in fact it is never separate from us, even for a moment. Being all of us, being all of me, being all of you. Meditation is the bridge. Contemplative prayer is the bridge between the true reality and our imagined, but sometimes so painfully felt, illusion of separateness. Meditation is the way in which the eternal draws us to focus upon and be content within itself. Today we celebrate the festival of the feeding of the hungry ghosts, which is really a memorial service for all those who have died in the last year. Those little mirrors have winked out. If that was simply the extinction of all that there is to them, or all that there was to them, we wouldn't bother to do the ceremony. We do the ceremony because when they winked out, when they died, it's not the end of the story. It's a time of important change, a time of transformation, a time of death. It's not the end of the story. Therefore, our remembering them and our offering the merit of the ceremony for them is not an empty gesture or simply a gesture that just benefits us in the doing of it. It has real benefit in whatever way their stories are continuing. They are continuing. For us, the living, the best way to prepare for our own death is to take refuge in our own wonderful Buddha nature right now in our own life.
Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds.
Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.